Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to American Italian Radio, where we explore the life of American Italian entertainers, storytellers, and artisans. There are 100 million Italophiles, people who like all things Italian, and our program is designed to share the American Italian heritage with all of you. We invite our guests to discuss their lives, their careers, and how their American Italian heritage has influenced them, and to tell us about their new projects. And now, let's join our hosts, Sal LaFerry and Don Mazzella.
Well, hello, and welcome to the American Italian Radio Channel on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Air Radio, which is sponsored by Protective Countermeasures and by the Small Business Digest. I'm Sal LaFerry, and I'm here with my co-host of Air Radio, Don Mazzella. What we hope to bring to you each week on the Air Network is the best in American Italian talk radio. We try to bring leaders in each of their respective fields, talking about where they are today, the memories of growing up Italian, and what's new and exciting in their world. We invite you to visit our website and share it among all your friends. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or you know someone you think might be fun for Don and I to sit and chat with, please contact us through the website then at theamericanitalianradio.com. And with no further ado, I'd like to introduce my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Mazzella.
How are you doing tonight?
It's one of them days today, Don, just one of them days.
Well, I woke up this morning, and as usual, I read the obituaries. and when I didn't find my name in it, I got up. But what I noticed today was there was...
You know, since Pat Cooper's been on the show, you know, you're like the stand-up comedian now. Go ahead.
Well, that's true, but sometimes it comes. But what I did notice today was there were two Italian-Americans in the obituaries, and both of them, it was interesting, in the first paragraph, both of them said that they had been the first of their family to go to college. And, you know, it really brought me up short because, my parents didn't have that much of an education, but they always insisted you had to go. Work with your brains, not with your muscle. What about you? What about your family?
My father was different. He wanted us to get a college education, but he also wanted us to get a civil service job. He said, "You'll never be rich, but after 20 years, you'll have a pension and you'll never go hungry." And it really made a lot of sense. And two older brothers, and all three of us wound up doing the same thing. So it was interesting. Anyway, we have two guests tonight, and so we should jump right into this relatively quick. The first guest we have is Helen Anzalone Gordon, born in Brooklyn and raised in Staten Island, and then actually made her trip out to L.A. She's a trained actress with a variety of film and television credits. Started studying martial arts back in the early 90s, winds up progressing well through that, becomes a teacher in the martial arts. And more interestingly, she actually created an app for women to be able to defend themselves. And so with that, I'd like to welcome to the show Helen Gordon. Hello, Helen. You with us?
Hey, I'm with you.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
So before we get into questions and Don takes left turns on us, start telling tell us what does the app do? What's the name of the app and what does it do?
The name of the app is You Can Fight. And what it does is give easy-to-use, quick, effective lessons to help get you out of a harmful situation, to defend yourself against an attack, and may even save your life. In a nutshell,
where did you come up with the idea?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been training in martial arts for over 20 years, and I recently, or I don't know, maybe a year ago, I heard some story about a woman getting attacked, which is so prevalent in our society, and I thought, I need to show these women what I know, you know? And just at that time, my husband says to me, I want to start developing apps. So I said, we need to do a self-defense app for women. And that's how it kind of was created. And from there, we just started, I came up with the techniques that we were going to put on the app, which are some of the most common attacks. And that was it. We just started doing it. And it was approved, and we got it up last month. So now it's ready to rock.
Now, you mentioned it has to get approved. How does that work? What's the process that goes through?
You submit it. Well, the good thing is, not the good thing. I don't know if it's a good thing or the bad thing, but Android just puts it up. So it's up on Android, but Apple has to have approval. They have to test it out, see if it's complex enough, interesting enough, and then when they approve it, it goes up on iTunes or iPhone, wherever that you could buy it for your iPad and your iPhone.
In essence, you have to create, because there's two different platforms, you have to create two different apps?
It's the same app, just one platform had to approve it and the other one just puts it up.
Oh, so it's not like you got to, reprogram one to work on Apple and another one on Android. They would work on cross platforms.
Well, the app is the same on each platform, but I don't think the coding is the same, for each device.
Helen, the question I always have is, how can you teach a person to defend themselves if they're not personally inclined? It's a question I've often wondered about.
You know, that is an interesting question, because I'm the kind of person that I knew that if I was ever attacked, I would fight. And I guess I don't even know if the woman would have to want to defend herself. You know, you can't force somebody to defend themselves, but studies have shown and most statistics prove that if you do fight back, you have a better chance of surviving. So I don't know why a woman wouldn't want to fight back. And with this app, they can learn how to. And like I said, it's quick, easy, and effective, because self-defense should be quick, easy, and effective. I mean, I'm not trying to have any woman stand to go 10 rounds with a man, because I wouldn't even want to do that. But I show you how to get out of a situation so that you could go get help, you know, just where to hit and how to hit and how to get out of the situation so that you can go get help.
Your app is obviously... It goes to a number of different people, right? You have, people that are, I don't want to say elderly, because they just don't have the dexterity or the flexibility. But, you have a pretty wide range of people that are able to use or potentially use it. When you were creating the app, did you have a specific target audience in mind?
Women.
Just women.
All women.
In general.
Yeah, just women. Women who would want to fight back but don't quite know how.
Okay.
But I do think just all women. I don't see any woman not benefiting from this app, because even the simple, there's like some simple moves that I show people all the time. I'm just like, grab my arm, and I'll just show this simple move that is like such an aha moment, because most people have the inclination to struggle. If you grab someone's arm, if you grabbed each other's arm right now, you would try to wrestle, struggle out of it, and that is so not what you should do. So this really is for any woman. So any woman would get something out of this app.
What about men?
Men too, but, men aren't – yes, but it is geared towards women, because they're the ones that are getting attacked, right? It definitely would work, but
it's an equal opportunity world today.
That's right, an equal opportunity groin kick. That's right.
Well, that to me, growing up in the neighborhood I did, the groin kick was always the number one tactic of defense. Do you recommend that?
Yes, I do. Hmm. I absolutely recommend it wholeheartedly. In fact, I had this nickname in class called Crotch Killer. That was my nickname.
I'm not kidding.
What?
I was teasing Don earlier. We had Pat Cooper on a couple of weeks back, and ever since he's been on, Don's been on a roll trying to be a comedian. He just looked at me and said, and you think I'm trying to be a comedian.
Great.
Crotch Killer, huh?
Yes. Yes,
because
I was in
something
some hardcore...
in the back of my head is screaming at me, saying, "Leave it alone! Leave it alone!"
Why should we leave it alone? Let's open that can of worms.
Yeah, let's go there. You spotted it. So I take it it's safe to say that you've practiced that technique a couple of times and
a couple, you know, on purpose and some by accident. I hesitate to say because actually my husband, I've used it on him a few times purely by accident, and we are still married.
He's probably afraid to leave you.
I never thought of that. Well, we spar. You know, we spar because he's also a black belt. So a lot of our dating consisted of sparring at the park.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how long have you been married?
7 years.
Ah. And you have children?
I have 1 6-year-old daughter.
Wow.
Okay, so tying this into the Italian culture here, do you find when, now with your daughter growing up, do you find that you're trying to keep some of the same traditions or, you know, some of the things that we find from the culture? Do you try and import that onto her?
I think the most important tradition I import on her is the importance of family dinner. I know that sounds crazy, but family dinners where you come together at the end of the night, you share your day, and you just... So we have dinner together. The three of us have dinner together every night. And when I was growing up, you know, we had dinner together every night, but every Sunday we would go to my grandmother's. And to this day, I have never tasted a better lasagna. And we would just... My whole family and my uncle and aunt would be there, my father's brother, and we would sit around the table, enjoy great food, and just share stories of what was going on, you know, in our lives. And that tradition is very important to me.
You know, no matter what guest comes on, they always go back to that Sunday dinner and how important it was.
Isn't it funny? Because we're all about the food.
Yeah.
We're all about the food.
One of our first guests that we had, Frank Santasola, who was on, said to us in the very first show, he said, you got to understand, in our world and in our culture, food is love. He said, and it's just an expression of love. And it made a lot of
great.
Sense.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. And really, where do you sit and gather and, you know, talk? And it's over food.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a fading away in today's
world?
I do.
And it's unfortunate because I do think there's a certain, I look forward to it, my husband looks forward to it. There's been a few times, I mean, my daughter's only six, but she'll sit down at the table, maybe she won't like what's on her plate, and she'll be like, I don't want to eat this, can I go watch TV? And we're like, no, you're going to sit with us and you're going to tell us, you know, about your day, how was your day, how was school, you know, and I do think there's a lot, I've talked to a lot of my daughter's moms, and they don't have dinner together because this one's playing soccer, this one's playing baseball, and the husband's taking the son one place, and the daughter, you know, they're never together at dinner. But I do think it's an important tradition.
What about the holidays?
Oh, I don't think in the 20 years I've been out here, I think one Christmas I did not go back. And I think it was the Christmas I gave birth because my daughter was born in December. And that Christmas, my father came out. But there has not been a Christmas that I've missed because Christmas Eve, you know, Italian style, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, no, that's true. Do you find it different in L.A.?
Yes. L.A. is more spread out. You know, people have transplanted here from other places. Their family is all somewhere else. I've noticed that at Christmas time, it's like a ghost town here. You know, none of my friends. It's interesting because I moved out here from New York. All of my friends here are from New York. All the friends I've made out here, all the good friends, are from New York also. And we all go back for the holidays. You know, nobody stays here.
Well, why did you move out to L.A.?
I moved out to pursue a career in the entertainment business. And I thought that out here, you know, with the movies and television, I'd have a better chance.
Where did you go to school?
More work. I went to school at St. John's.
Ah.
Yeah.
Would we have seen you in something recently?
Actually, I have a Home Depot commercial running right now that you probably have seen.
I'm sorry?
I have a besides the app. I have a Home Depot commercial running right now.
Oh. We have a friend whose wife is pursuing a career, and we kind of share his ups and her ups and downs, and I know I couldn't take the constant auditioning,
etc. Rejection.
Rejection I could take. It's just the auditioning I don't think I could handle. But if you knew some of my writing, you'd understand.
Well, if you want, I also coach actors, so I could give you some tips.
I'm sorry?
If you want, I also coach actors, so I could give you some tips.
Okay. We can always use that. Let's talk a little bit about you're from Staten Island. You go out to L.A. and you made friends with other New Yorkers. How did you find the estrangement, the separation from your family?
It was really hard, and actually, I'm the only one that's ever left. So I'm like the black sheep because I'm the only one that's ever left the nest. Everybody else, you know, New York, or my experience with my family is my brother got married and he literally moved around the corner from my parents, you know, and I went 3,000 miles away, so it was quite different. And even all my cousins who are also Italian, they one of them actually moved down the block from his mom, and my other cousin moved to the next town, but no one's ever gone as far as I've gone, so it was very difficult for all of us.
And yet and it's nice that you keep coming back. Growing up, who most influenced you?
You know, I would have to say my parents. You know, my father really instilled the education aspect of, you know, you need an education. It's so important to have an education. So he really instilled that in me. But my grandmother was such a strong, independent woman. At 80 years old, she was painting her apartment. And I just thought, that is the kind of woman, you know, that I want to be. She's completely independent and strong her whole life. She lived to 94, and it wasn't until the very end that she needed assistance, but really such a strong, independent woman, and she had a lot of influence over me.
They
but at the same
like
time, you know, even though she was strong and independent, she took care of her family, you know, because now, you know, some women don't take care. They think that it maybe is a weakness to cook dinner for their family, or like I cook dinner every night. I incorporate that also. Even though my grandmother was strong and independent, it wasn't that she cooked dinner every night. She took care of her family. So it was twofold. She had I think the best of both going on.
Was she first generation or second generation?
She was actually right off the boat, but she was the Irish grandma. I had an Italian grandma and an Irish grandma, but my Italian grandma was also very independent and outspoken. So she also, you know, was very, very strong as well.
You know, it's excuse me, it's interesting listening to Italian, the Irish, etc. Your last name is Gordon. What is he?
He is English, believe it or not, Sicilian. He's half Sicilian and half English with some other mixes in there, but Gordon is an English name, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're kind of blending a lot of different cultures right now.
You think?
You got to understand, Don likes to state the obvious, you know. It's still on the state the obvious.
Well, that's stating the obvious, but I was hoping.
But we look at it as though my husband's half Italian and I'm half Italian. Mm. So my daughter is half Italian because she gets a quarter from each.
No.
But it's funny because the cooking side is definitely Italian, you know.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Where
nothing
actually,
like a good Italian sauce.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that's the whole argument, right? Between what do you call it, sauce or gravy? You know, that's
gravy.
The whole...
I always thought that was weird. When in college I had an Italian boyfriend, his family calls it gravy. Mm-hmm. I thought that was weird.
Because everybody else called it sauce, right?
Some Italians call it gravy, but I never did.
In my, In my family, yeah, we always called it gravy. We never called it sauce. And when we had one of the earlier shows, we had Anna Maria Santarelli, who is a chef. And we asked her, and she said, "What's sauce?" She goes, "There really is no word in Italian for gravy. It's sauce." And she gave us this whole lecture on about, you know, why it had to be sauce. But, yeah, when we were growing up, it was gravy. Anyway, we're going to take a quick 30-second break. We'd like you to hang on. Don't go nowhere. Because when we come back, we want to continue the conversation about your app and talk to you about what it's like to run the company and a little bit more about the app. So we'll be back with you in about 30 seconds.
Just how dangerous is social networking? Use of websites like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are all the rage. But what are the downsides of this new technology? The incidence of bullying, stalking, harassment, and inappropriate content are increasing. Just how dangerous is it? What can you do to protect your child and yourself from it? Go to ProtectiveCountermeasures.com for a free hour-long video on the dangers of social networking. That's ProtectiveCountermeasures.com for your free hour-long video.
We're back with our guest today, Helen Anzalone-Gordon, who created the app You Can Fight. And before we get into this, we do have one small bit of breaking news, and I'm not sure if, Helen, if you had even heard it yet. Just broke while we were on air. The James Gandolfini, the actor famous for The Sopranos, they're reporting that he took a massive heart attack in Italy and passed away this afternoon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We just saw that breaking on the news stations here in the studio.
Wow. How old was he?
51.
Wow.
So, from us here at the studio, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and to his family. That was pretty shocking news. And I was a fan of his work. I loved what he did in The Sopranos. I really thought he played that well. But anyway, we wanted to put that out for folks who have been listening and may not have known. But let's get back to your app and to the company. What you obviously have two different career paths going. You have your opportunities in the entertainment industry, and then you've started a small business and created the app and are moving in that direction. What would you rather do at this point in your career? I mean, what do you really enjoy today?
Wow, that's hard, because I actually have three things going. I'm actually also an acting coach, and I've been coaching actors for 15 years, and I have that business. So I'm a busy bee. But if I had to pick a direction, well, the app doesn't really stop me from doing anything else, because it's self-contained and it's there. So hopefully it'll do what it does, and it'll be successful, and then I could do a part two and maybe get into more. So I would like that to be successful so that I can do new versions with new techniques, you know, because the techniques I gave four techniques that were very common attacks, but there's others, you know, that I would like to add over time in a new app maybe, you know, and
One of the things that I always find interesting in apps like this, or classes, and you know, for self-defense, especially for women. In the course of my career, I spent 20 years with the New York City Police Department, and for a short period, for a couple of years, wound up working in plain clothes in the South Bronx, working in an anti-crime capacity, dealing with street robberies. How do you address, or has anybody ever asked you, how do you deal with the person who's using your app? How are they going to react to the stress, or how do they? You know, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, we've seen police officers that were highly trained and froze in a situation. So,
right.
What do you think about that?
I'm hoping that with practice, you know, I mean, because you can't just buy the app, put it in your pocket, and assume that's all you need to do, and that it's going to work for you. You do have to practice. You know, and so practice, 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 and then if that situation arises, take a deep breath, and hopefully it'll become second nature. Because at this point, I do feel like it could become second nature when you guys are on the street. My brother was a cop for 20 years, actually. He's retired also. And
did he work in New York?
He did. He worked in. He started his career in Manhattan, and then he ended up undercover narcotics, and that's how he got his detective shield. And then he ended up on Staten Island when he was a sergeant at the very end before he retired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he didn't. But again, as a cop, I don't know. You probably didn't get to do that every day. So yeah, I could see that you would freeze if you don't practice. But I'm hoping that if somebody buys the app, they're serious about learning the move so that they keep practicing so that it becomes second nature.
Do you find that people who are buying the app, and it may be relatively early to ask this question, but do you find people who are buying the app are looking to show, wow, you know what, I really enjoy this, maybe I could move on and, you know, take some more lessons? Is it, do you anticipate it at least being a driver for additional business for you?
I don't own a Taekwondo studio, so it wouldn't be more business for me. It would be great if women would go. Martial arts class is awesome, and there's many reasons why it's great. First of all, it's a great workout. And then second of all, you learn to defend yourself. And third of all, you're always learning new things. So it's never like the same treadmill every day, over and over and over again. So if it encourages women to go take classes, great. But this is really meant to, you know, defend yourself against attacks. They're quick, effective, and easy to use moves. So it's not, when you go to a class, it's a little different because you learn how to kick, you learn how to punch, you learn forms. There's many, many, many different parts of a martial arts class that are not necessarily self-defense, but they're great. Because like I said, you could get in shape, learn new things, learn to defend yourself. So I encourage them to do that, but it wouldn't give me more business.
You said you had three interests, but you never said what the third one was.
Oh, it's the self-defense, it's the acting coaching, and it's the acting.
Okay. So all centered around that. I've tried karate and a couple of times and decided it was easier to worry about it than do something about it. But are you teaching your daughter?
Yes, she's testing for her green belt on Friday. Absolutely.
And that's also.
I will not have a girl in this world that will not know how to defend herself. It's too scary out there.
And become groin crusher too.
That's right, groin killer too, or a little groin killer.
Helen, we got about a minute and a half left. Where can let's go over the name of the app again, and where we can get it, and where it's where we can find it.
The app is called You Can Fight, and you can find it on Google Play for Android or iTunes for iPhone and iPad.
Okay. Do we have a, and the website is?
Oh, the website is youcanfightapp.com, and if you want additional safety tips, I tweet out tips all the time. You can follow me at DojoChick, DojoChik. And my Facebook fan page is You Can Fight. Is that enough ways to get in touch with me?
How did you come up? Go ahead. Tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Oh, right.
Which is Dave.
Well,
I think I only left out my phone number and my social security number.
No, I don't want you to get the phone number, but but let me ask you this: how did you come up with the name?
I wanted something that would be empowering and also catchy. And I believe me, I went through 1,000 names, I think, and I just kept in my. I was like, I can fight. I fight, you fight, every kind of version of that title. And one day I was hiking with my friend, and I was like, I need a title like that empowers women, that forces them to take action and lets them know that they could do it. And we just started tossing names around, and You Can Fight. I just thought it just totally in my mind, when I heard it, it did everything I wanted it to do.
Well, we're going to keep you on a little bit longer. Let me ask you, if you had your druthers between coaching acting and coaching marital arts, which do you prefer?
Marital arts. That's a fourth career that I didn't even start getting into there.
Well,
yet.
I call it marital arts.
Oh, that's what, well, that's what I told you. My husband and I used to spar in the park. That's marital arts right there.
Right.
Yeah.
You
and we
understand.
Used to gather a crowd. Let me tell you something. We used to gather a crowd.
Well, how did you meet your husband?
In Taekwondo class.
Oh.
Yeah. We regularly, you know, beat each other up.
Well,
so
I'm going to keep on talking to you. At least I'm getting Sal to laugh. And if you have more time to stay on, Lisa,
absolutely.
I'd like to know more about you.
I'll apologize if he goes through the same questions all over again.
Oh.
If you want
no
me to go
problem.
Through them? You want me to go through the questions we got written out? I'll be more than happy to. I've lived in the same house for a long time. Do you think you'd retire in Los Angeles, or would you like to go back to New York?
You know, that's the ongoing conversation my husband and I have, because he would like to get out of L.A. And every time I come back for New York at Christmas, every time I come back to New York for Christmas and I have to deal with that weather, it's a little tough to say right now, because the weather here, you just can't beat it. You know,
yeah,
if I came back
true.
To New York, actually, you know what would be great? If I could be bicoastal, you know, and come to New York in the spring months and the fall months and then stay here during the winter, and, you know, kind of that would be the perfect ideal situation. Because I do miss New York, but I feel like you could take the girl out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the girl, so.
Yeah, what kind of work does your husband do?
He is a producer and an editor, which is why the app looks so good.
Ah, okay.
Yes. It was my idea, and he designed it and made it happen.
Well, you know, Sal is putting together a program on cyber-stalking.
Yeah, cyberbullying and stalking, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot with a lot of work with high schools and junior high schools, where we're going around and we're talking to the kids about the dangers of social networking. And that was a lot of the fun that we had last week with Chris Desi on the show. We got to chat with him, and where Chris, you know, in the social media world, everything, and, you know, from Chris's perspective, and rightfully so, is that it's, you know, this fun and happy and, you know, useful, and what a great tool it is. And in my world, we look at everything in sort of the dark side, and it was a great contrast between the two of us getting to chat about, you know, what he thought was good and the bad things that I thought were bad. And I said, you know, at some point, me and him need to get together and just write a book.
Oh, that's an awesome idea.
And talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been doing been running around to high schools talking to the kids and explaining to them about the problems with social networking. And, you know, the way I deal with it is I explain to them that I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it's bad and you shouldn't do it and you can't wave the finger at the kids and say no, 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 because as we all know, that's the, you know, that's sort of the green light for them to go out and do it.
Oh, absolutely.
So what we do is, you know, I explain to them that, you know, at some point in time, the stuff that you're putting online today is going to come back and haunt you, either through the archives that are out there, or stuff that you're posting that's going to show some forms of patterns and practices that you have. And we show them how it comes back to hurt them, and it's kind of interesting, you know, to see what they're doing.
You know, interesting. A footnote to that. I just saw a statistic. 68% of all college hires this year by corporations, they had their websites checked.
Absolutely. My nephew is a really big lacrosse player, and he was he had some offers for some partial scholarships, and my brother would not let him put up a Facebook because that was absolutely true. They're gonna look at what you have on Facebook and all your social media sites to see what it is you're about.
Yeah, well, one of the things we do I actually run protective countermeasures, and one of the services that we provide is, you know, the background and, you know, sort of the due diligence checks. And one of the things that we'll do for our clients is we'll go back and look at somebody's Facebook pages, and what we're looking for is the whole pattern and practice. You know, we've all had a bad night, we've all had a bad day where we've done something stupid, and that stupid picture gets on.
Right.
And if you don't put it on,
one of your friends does. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
tag
well,
you.
Know, well, you know, the great example that I use during the talk is Michael Phelps, the swimmer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That photo of him at a party smoking from a bong wound up costing somewhere, there was some estimates that said that it cost him about $60 million in endorsements for that photo. And then that was something that he didn't pose for. He didn't know it was being taken. He clearly didn't post the picture, but it had a tremendous impact on him. And, you know, that's what we try and explain to the kids, is that, you know, things are going to happen. And the other thing is we wind up, you know, we not only talk about the kids, but I also carry it over to the women as well, that are going back, either coming out of, you know, bad relationships or divorces, that are going back online and putting their profiles out and trying to get out there to meet someone.
Oh,
and
I put tips all the time on my Twitter about that because I've heard horror stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just as simple as, you know, that's another thing about self-defense starts with common sense. And it's like, but sometimes, like women, like you said, they're desperate or they're hurt. So their guard is down maybe, and they maybe would do something that they wouldn't normally do, like send somebody money that they've never met before, or just stupid, stupid things.
You know, there's a rather famous individual, especially out in L.A., Gavin DeBecker, who wrote a book called The Gift of Fear. And Gavin runs a threat assessment center where also a training center. And I had gone to it, and one of the things that he says in his book and says out at the training center is that, you know, man is probably one of the only animals on the planet that totally avoids or doesn't listen to its instinct. And how many times in cases we see it today where a woman gets herself into some form of trouble, either, you know, she's walking into a building and winds up getting robbed in the lobby, or had a feeling about an individual but yet continued on in the relationship. Excuse me. And what all of that, you know, just kind of indicates is that, you know, your instincts kind of kick in, and a kind of early warning system. And a lot of times, you know, we just, as humans, we'll ignore those feelings and not pay attention to them. Where an animal, if it senses danger, is going to go away. It's not going to stick around to deal with it, or it's not going to ignore those feelings. It's pretty interesting response.
Scary. I think scary.
Yeah.
Because I even have friends that, you know, when you're in the outside looking in, it's so much easier to see. But I have friends that have seen so many red flags, and then they go forward anyway, and the flags never go away. They're still there and probably get worse, and more flags are added. And then you have to get out of it, which is so much more work and harder. You know what I mean? It's interesting. It is interesting. And that is another thing I try to, give tips about, is follow your instinct. Follow your instinct. It's always the girl. I mean, there's always an episode on Law and Order or one of those shows where the girl, she's standing there and he's like, you don't want to come home with me? And you could see the girl is creeped out, but she's more interested in making him not feel bad than she is about her own safety.
Yeah.
You know? And that movie with the girl with the dragon tattoo is a perfect example, too, where the serial killer invites, you know, the hero back into the house. And he even says, after he has him captured, you know, you felt, interesting, you felt that you shouldn't have come back in here, and yet you didn't want to hurt my feelings. And you came back in, knowing that your instinct told you to run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. We're going to take a quick 30-second break, but if you can stay with us, I'd love to continue the conversation with you about the app and, again, about, you know, carrying it on, about how people need to be aware and need to be sort of situationally aware of what's around them and what's going on with them. So please hold on.
I'd love
to have you with us. You're listening to Air Radio, and we will be back in 30 seconds.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
We're back, and we're talking with Helen Anzalone Gordon, the creator of the You Can Fight app, which is available on all major locations such as iTunes, and it's available for the Droid. And any place else we're missing it?
Pretty much iPhone, iPad, and the Android.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm learning a lot about self-protection.
Good, right?
Right. Well, my idea of self-protection is to run.
You know what, though? That is the idea. The idea is to do what you need to do to get out of the situation. It is not there to, like, get into 12 rounds with any person.
I always remember years ago, many, many years ago, a couple was walking in Central Park, and they were jumped by three people. And the guy gallantly stood, three thugs, and the guy gallantly stood them off and told his girlfriend to run. And all she could do was stop and look as she was getting beaten up. He kept saying, run, run, run. But anyway, if you were caught in a situation like that, and your defensive efforts had not succeeded in disabling the guy, though I doubt that, what would you do?
I would run. I would absolutely run it as I'm dialing 911. You know, but I you know what, really though, with the nickname Crotch Killer, do you think he wouldn't be disabled?
No, that's a bit. I'm left speechless. What can I tell you? Have you ever appeared in any of these martial arts movies or anything, or worked with them?
No. I you know what, there's some guys in my class that could go 10 feet high and do all these fancy kicks, and they really want to, you know, get into movies like that. I would love to be in an action show, like a cop drama, where I get to use some of my moves, you know, but I've never been in a martial arts film, no.
You know, it's funny.
Love watching them, though.
One of my partners when I was in the police department and early in my career was he had multiple black belts and different types of martial arts, and he was always working out. He was just incredibly well built, and we were very active, and we were always getting ourselves into trouble one way or another. And we had one guy one day who was just crazed, and he was standing there, and he had a knife in his hand. And he squares off, and he's standing right in front of me, and he's going to come at me. And I look at my partner, and I said to him, hey, you know all this karate stuff. Why don't you deal with them? And Vinny looks up at me and he goes, okay. So the guy turns around. Like the guy's just like oblivious to this conversation. The guy just turns and looks at Vinny now, figuring he's going to go with Vinny. And Vinny just picks up a chair and just crashes it right over the guy's head and just drops him. And I looked at Vinny and I said, three black belts and then you hit him with a chair?
Disappointing, huh?
I could have did that. Yeah. How the hell
see,
did that
survival,
come from?
Whatever the survival instinct, that was his survival instinct. Pick up the chair.
Yeah, picked up the chair and hit him. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you expected something good.
That's much more sensible.
I mean, with three black belts, you figure he was going to do something that was going to be impressive. And hell, I could have hit him with the chair.
You're only jealous that you didn't do it. You can see we have fun on this show.
I love this show. This is great. Can we extend another half hour?
So, Helen, let me ask you a question. You got the, you made the app. It's on the phone, right? I guess part of this is tongue in cheek, and part of it is serious. We see people walk around carrying the phone all day long. Right, and they're walking down the streets. They're tripping. They're walking into trees. They're, you know,
totally
stepping out into cars. I mean, part of the whole thing about, you know, being aware and utilizing the techniques that you've talked about in the app. How much of it do you push for situational awareness for somebody to be aware of what's going on around them?
Oh, 95%. Do you know how many situations could be avoided if people would just be aware? I get so irritated, and I think I'm going to start. Actually, I decided yesterday. I'm going to start knocking on the window of car doors of women that are sitting there talking on the phone in their car, texting, or sitting there balancing their checkbook, whatever the heck they're doing in the parking lot, but just sitting there like a target. And I decided yesterday, actually, that I am going to start knocking on the windows and going, get in your car and drive away. Do not sit there like a target, because what do you think predators are looking for? People who are not aware of what is going on around them.
Yeah.
You know? So I do not condone. This app is, I should have put a warning on the app. This app is to not be used while you're walking. It's when you have some downtime and you can actually pay attention to it and practice. But, yeah, don't be looking at it while you're walking, because that kind of defeats the purpose, right? Or
well,
while you're
driving. You could just picture somebody in the process of getting into a situation, scrambling for the phone and trying to open up the app and, you know, hang on, let me see what I got to do here. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I hope so. Hopefully they practice at home before they go out. But, you know, and again, being aware is so much a part of it. And I tweet all the time about I've even come up with an acronym for AWARE, Always Watch and Remain Engaged.
Wow.
That's my acronym for AWARE. Because you know what? That is what it's about. I mean, predators are going to look for somebody who is going to be an easy target. If the woman is walking, looking around, making eye contact, swinging her arms, you know, aware of what's going on, he's going to pick on the one who's in her phone, crossing the street, rifling through her purse, totally unaware. You know, or the one sitting in her car, balancing her checkbook or texting or talking on the phone. But I swear I go to the mall and the supermarket and I see at least no less than 7 women sitting in their car.
You know, it's funny about women particularly not being aware of their surroundings. We had a situation, you may have remembered it, probably about 7-8 months back. There was a shooting in front of the Empire State Building here in New York. And some guy just went crazy and committed an attempted homicide or a homicide in the building. He comes running out and he gets engaged with law enforcement and they wind up exchanging shots. And it was breaking news and one of the local TV stations had asked me to come on and to, you know, to comment on what was going on in the case and what was developing and what we can anticipate. And I do that quite often for the news channels. And so I'm on the station, and I had phoned it, and I was phoning in the interview because it was breaking at that moment. And
one of the things that I had said was, you know, they said, well, you know, there were people in the neighborhood. What should people have been doing? And I said, well, one of the things they needed to do was to be way more aware of their surroundings. That you're going to have people walking up the street that are going to be on the cell phone, that are going to have, you know, the iPod on, or, you know, and playing music in their heads, and just totally oblivious. And I really caught a tremendous amount of static from the anchor who was on that morning, who really thought that, you know, come on, how could somebody be walking through a gun battle and this occur and not be aware of what's happening? And as it turned out, probably about 2 hours later, there was a woman that was on, it was either CNN or Fox, and they were talking about the situation, and they had her as a witness, and they approached her and said, so what did you see? What did you know about this when, you know, you were in the middle of all of this? And she said, well, I was on my phone, and I was texting with someone. She said, I saw people running by me, and I heard yelling, and I thought it was just some celebrity walking by since I was in New York, and I just didn't pay any attention to it. And she strolled right through the middle of a gun battle.
Well,
a great situational awareness. I mean, there are people out there that are just, you know, for lack of a better term, are just brain dead.
Clueless?
Yeah.
And you know what's so funny is I tweeted a self-defense tip, I think it was last week or the week before, but basically saying something like that, and somebody got on me and tweeted me back going, never, ever blame the victim. It is never the victim's fault. And so I answered her saying, I'm not blaming the victim. I am teaching women to be aware, and that is what I'm teaching them, to be aware of what's going on around them so that they can be safe. But I'm not blaming the victim. You know, I'm telling you what to do to lessen the chance that you will be a victim.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, it sounds like one of the things that you're doing with it, especially with the Twitter that you're running, is you're looking not just at the app, and you're just not trying to sell the app. I mean, you're clearly trying to take more of a holistic approach to this, and I really think that that's sort of important here. Is that, you know, there is. You can create a product and try and sell the product, but I think it sounds like you really understand there are a lot more issues to this. And I think, you know, it'd be beneficial if somebody's, you know, buying the app would also, you know, sign up and listen to some of the tweets that you're putting out and then engage in a conversation. I think that would be incredibly helpful.
Oh, it would be, yeah, it would be great. And again, the app is the last line of self-defense. If you need to use those moves and you've practiced them, there they are for you. But really, awareness, always watch and remain engaged, awareness and common sense is the key to keep yourself out of 90% of the situations that could get you in trouble. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You're getting high praise because Sal is really an expert in that whole area. And I think you're impressing him tonight.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, but her brother was a cop, so, you know, she gets some points there just off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
And an NYPD cop.
An NYPD cop.
That's right.
Matter of fact,
well, it's funny. My brother never talked about the job. He would never talk about it.
Well, he worked in Staten Island, right?
He was undercover with narcotics.
That's true. For a while, he couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And then he just never did after that.
Well, you know, Sal and I do the show together, and I'm an ex-police reporter, and I know a lot. But in my association with Sal, I've learned an awful lot more. And it's just interesting. And I'm listening to you and been very impressed because you have more behind that app than just the app. I'm mimicking what he said. Have you thought of writing a book?
You know, thanks for the idea. I didn't up until now. But Sal, maybe we could collaborate on a book.
That would be, you know, that would be interesting.
She's guaranteed she's prettier than you, Sal.
I've actually been blogging. Funny, because when the announcement about my app went out, the pro MMA they've asked me to blog for them, and so I did a blog on Sunday about three tips to stay safe. You know, keep aware. And the week before that, actually, you know, I told the three places where to hit. But basically, most of my blogs and most of my tweets are how to stay safe. You know, the things you can do to lessen your chance that you will be a victim.
Yeah, I tell you, we'll continue this conversation offline. But it would be interesting because what we're doing, the lectures that I'm doing now for the high school and junior high school and the college kids, this may be something that might be interesting that we can team up on to get it out.
You want to hear something funny? About 10 years ago, I came up with this idea, and it was nonprofit, to go into high schools and teach girls during gym class self-defense. Because I thought, why are girls learning how to play dodgeball or soccer or something that they're never going to use? Self-defense would be something that would actually empower them and they can use in their life. And there was such red tape with the LAUSD that I could never get in because of insurance and all that other red tape. But I was willing to go in and implement some kind of program so that during the gym class, these girls actually learn self-defense.
Wow. Yeah, that would be, and it would be something that you'd be able to do that would be useful for them, and you know, you could make it an elective even.
Right, but again, there was a red tape regarding insurance and all that good stuff. But college women, college campuses, you know, those girls need to know how to defend themselves. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm sending. I think I already told my daughter. She's only six, but we already told her she's not going away to college. No, we'll be driving her and picking her up every day, even though she'll be a black belt by that point.
But if you teach her all those tricks, the boys will be in danger, not her.
That's true. We're talking about crotch killer too. That's right.
That's right. Wait till the first boy shows up at the front door. I don't know who's going to be worse, your husband or you.
My husband. He has his martial arts, you know, he collects the martial arts swords and stuff. He'll have them on display, you know, and the guy will run. He'll run from the house.
I don't have children, so I don't have, but I've seen the situations a couple of times. And it's always interesting watching the father see the daughter go out for her first date. There's real trauma involved, but that's for another time.
Right.
I guess
that's
one
a different conversation.
And you, fortunately, you have a few years left. But let's close this program with what would be the three things you would tell a woman to help her in the future?
Be aware of your surroundings. Learn simple techniques to defend yourself. And listen to your instinct.
Three solid points. Before we let you go, I want to make sure that people can figure out how they can get to you again. So let's go to the let's just go over where people can find the app.
People can find the app on Google Play for Android and the iTunes Store for iPhone or iPad. You can follow me at DojoChick, DojoChik, for self-defense tips and safety tips for women. And my Facebook fan page is You Can Fight, and the website is YouCanFightApp.com.
Helen, it was really good to have you on. We'd love to want to follow up with you on a couple of things we talked about, but more importantly, we'd love to have you back at some point to talk about the app and where we're going with it from there.
I want to talk to you about a book.
All right. As we close out our show, we'd like to thank our special guest tonight for spending part of this evening with us. We hope you enjoyed the show and is going to share this program with your family and friends. For Don Mazzella and myself, thank you for listening, and we hope to have you back real soon.
Thank you for listening to American Italian Radio, the Air Channel. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and we look forward to you joining us again next week. Please follow us on Facebook at American Italian Radio and on Twitter at #USAItalianRadio.